Flame fans. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get to it. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Thursday, December 5th. Steinberg and Gilbertson along with you from the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We've got lots to get to this hour on the program, and it's a Thursday, which means we get the opportunity to kick this hour off talking goaltending with our goaltending guru. It's time to say hello to Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com, and we have got a lot to get to with Mr. Woodley on this Thursday. Kev, good to have you on as always. How are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Oh, we're doing good. We're preparing for a 6-game homestand here in Vancouver, the first two of which coincide with Taylor Swift wrapping up the Eras Tour across the street. So I just got notification of all the road closures. The beautiful people in charge of parking around Vancouver have decided that the rates, which will also affect what I pay to park to cover the local hockey team, will be $150 for the evening. So, I'm looking at, everyone's like, oh, no problem. Just take the SkyTrain in. Just park and take the SkyTrain in. I'm like, yeah, me and 70,000 Swifties. So, just say I may be covered in a little glitter while I cover a couple hockey games this week.
The old Stadium Chinatown Station, that's going to be a hot spot, hey?
It's going to be bananas. Now, full confession, I am a Swiftie. I took my daughter to Seattle 2 summers ago to see her show. And it was, the best way to describe it is a 3.5-hour sing-along with 72,000 people. It's a remarkable, remarkable event. Huh. But my lasting impression was trying to get out of Seattle and being 4 blocks away, my parking lot, whatever, parkade, being 4 blocks away from the I-5 entrance and taking 1.5 hours to get there and not getting home till 4 a.m. because, of course, you couldn't get a hotel room. And now I'm trying to picture what that's going to be like as a reporter covering the Canucks across the street twice this week. So wish me luck, boys.
Godspeed.
So any concerns, Kev, about the Wi-Fi in BC Place as you try to watch the game so you can do both?
Actually, if I was trying to do that, trust me, Wes, if I could afford tickets, I would. I did some fundraising stuff with Canucks Autism, always get involved with their events each year with their pro-am. And one of the items at the auction site, somebody got a pair of tickets. They went for $17,000. So unless someone's sneaking me in, I don't have to worry about the Wi-Fi. But as you know, Wes, no matter what, the Wi-Fi anywhere else will be better than the Wi-Fi in Rogers Arena where the Canucks play.
I can't confirm or deny.
Sounds about right. Kev, it's Thursday night against the Blues. Third straight start for Dan Vladar between the pipes. Now, in full disclosure, he started in Pittsburgh on Saturday. Dustin Wolf was under the weather, so they felt like it would be better for him to back up on Tuesday against Columbus. Otherwise, that would have been a Dustin start, but they went to Vladar instead with Wolf fighting it a little bit. And then Vladar posts the shutout, and so you post a shutout, and most times you're going to go back in the next game. So Vladar will start against St. Louis. So a third straight start for Dan Vladar. I'm just curious as to, you know, what the numbers are telling you about his season, what you're seeing from him this season. We know he's coming off the hip surgery. I'm just curious. We've talked about it a little bit, but we focused more on Dustin this season in our chats with you. I thought maybe this would be a good day to go in depth on what we've seen from Vladar.
Well, statistically, he's just slightly above his expected save percentage. And that's actually, you know, dug himself out a little bit. The start wasn't as good numbers-wise. It just felt like the games he was in were a little tougher early. Like, we talked about the discrepancy in their expected save percentage early on. Like, Wolf's was really high and Vladar's was really low. They've kind of, with more games for both of them, they've leveled off right around 890, which is just a little above, you know, the league average, which is a credit, again, to the Flames defending overall. Obviously, there's been ups and downs within the season, but overall, they've still been a pretty stout defensive group, answered a lot of questions that we had. But what the structure would look like in front of the goaltenders this year, they've answered those in a positive direction. When I say he's just slightly above expected, you know, amongst the goalies to face 200 chances, like that's 31st in the league. And while Wolf is 11th on that list and obviously off to a great start, it's nothing to sneeze at by any means. You know, he's got better numbers. They're parallel to Jordan Binnington. Maybe the one comparison that I think will ring true or mean a lot to a lot of people is he is barely like 0.1 of a percentage behind Kevin Lankinen, who is being credited with the savior of the Vancouver Canucks to start the season, is on Team Finland. So, you know, obviously there have been different highs and different lows, but overall, he's holding his own. And obviously coming off a really good start, which I thought was an important bounce back after what happened in Pittsburgh, not that it was all on him. There are some other names, you know, some big names that are below him when we talk about adjusted save percentage. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky, Jeremy Swayman, obviously not off to a great start, but Bob, I think, would surprise some people. Linus Ullmark, like, he's having a good season. When I go into the specifics of the numbers, there are sort of two things that jump out a little bit. One-timers is an area where he's been a little, you know, underwater statistically, but overall, like, he's only given up 4 low-percentage goals all season. And again, not at the very, very top of the league with a Connor Hellebuck who's only given up 1 or an Antti Snolars who's given up none. But 4 puts you in the top third. And so not giving up bad goals is an important thing. One-timers, rebounds have been a bit of an issue, and then slot line plays. So plays across the middle of the ice. There's been 10 of those so far on 31 goals, which is just slightly below expected. But there's nothing there that jumps out as, like, staggeringly bad. And so everything else is above expected. So, like, he's given them quality goaltending on a fairly consistent basis. There's been some tough starts in there, but, you know, like, his good starts have been really good. So, I think for a guy coming off the surgery he's had, this is all really positive. And I think when you see a night like the other night, like, what that shows to me, and just what incredible emotion. I watched that game after the Canucks game, and there's a lot that goes into a night like that, and a lot of pressure for a goaltender, and a lot of extra between the ears. And so you can ask me to look at the numbers, and you can ask me to look at technical elements, but I think it's hard sometimes to see between the ears and the mental side of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think having the performance he did on a night like that with all the pressure that comes with it and the spotlight and the emotion – like, that checks a box on the mental side as well. So I like what I see in the containment and control technically and tactically. I like what I'm seeing in the numbers. And I like what I saw the other night in terms of handling a very emotional evening and coming up with a really – everybody did. But behind that, to, again, not give up a bad goal, to be really steady in his positioning and in all elements of his game with all that's going on, like that's an important thing for a goaltender. And I think it shows another sign of how mentally strong he is.
So it's interesting because you take a look at some of the different trade target lists that are out there, and Dan Vladar's name is starting to show up more and more. And he's been a guy even in this market who has been the subject of a lot of trade speculation just based on his contract status, based on Cooley being in the organization, and obviously based on Wolf's age and trajectory. So Colorado goes out and gets Scott Wedgewood over the weekend. They give up their young goalie in Justus Annanen, and they give up a pick, and they bring in Scott Wedgewood. And not even just comparing Wedgewood to Vladar, but some of the other names that could have been out there. I'm just curious as to your reaction to Colorado targeting Wedgewood and going down that road to try to maybe improve their floundering goaltending.
Yeah, a little bit surprised that that's the guy they picked. You know, I talked about Dan Vladar being above expected. Scott's below. Like, it hasn't been a great start for him in Nashville. So, you know, 46 in the league in adjusted save percentage. My hunch is that it has to do with the contract, that he's there for 2 years. And so obviously they see something. And Scott's, listen, like last year's numbers fell off a little bit in the second half in Dallas. But up till that point, he's a guy I really liked and had trended in a positive direction in terms of his underlying numbers for several years in a row. He was like, you know, we talk about Mike Lankinen as the guy the team should target. You know, 3-4 years ago, I had Wedgwood on that list, right? And so he was trending up. And it's only in the last half of last season and the start of this year that it dipped a little, the underlying numbers. And so clearly Colorado sees something. And I do wonder if there's a personal and style preference here. If you look at the goaltenders they have, they don't tend to go for really big, you know, like physically important. Like they're not building their goal as much as everybody else wants to see size. Mm-hmm. For the most part, that hasn't been the way they've trended. They've got a Finnish goaltending coach in Jussi Parkkila, who's the first Finnish goaltending coach to win a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche and one of the first full-timers that didn't play in the league to be, you know, named an NHL goalie coach as a European. That tendency for Finnish to sort of like the active hands and a little more active style. And I think that Wedgwood is a guy that plays with some of that at times too much. Like there's too much movement in his game, a little too much back and forth and in and out and backwards flow. And that creates a reliance on timing and rhythm as opposed to more of a technician. But when you look at the goalies they go and get, they tend to be less technicians. And so I wonder if this was a combination of having another year of his deal, seeing him as a guy that maybe help him with them with more upside to come this season, and then have him locked in next year, even if it's just as a backup at a reasonable number, because obviously cost certainty matters to the Colorado Avalanche where they're at and the number of superstars they have to pay. So there might have been a little bit of that, and I think there may have been some style stuff. Without having had a chance to send UC a note and ask, I think there might have... Wedgwood just sort of fits the MO of some of the goaltenders. A little surprised they gave up on Anonin, to be honest with you. He had some really good underlying numbers in a small sample last year, and obviously cratered a little bit this season in tougher starts behind a team that, you know, wasn't at full health. But, you know, I was a little surprised they gave him up the other way. But at least in Wedgwood, I think there is a style fit in terms of their personal preferences for goaltending. And that may be all it was in terms of picking him ahead of, say, a guy like Dan Vladar. And also, like, you guys tell me, Vladar's trending up. He's coming off a major injury. We've seen him putting building blocks in his game. Cooley's off to a great start, but you might want to let him just keep building down there. Is there any rush if you're the Calgary Flames? Or do you think maybe you could create a bigger market for Dan Vladar later, and in the meantime, give yourself the comfort of having three guys in the short term and giving everyone time, especially Wolf and especially Cooley, to just sort of keep settling in at this level?
No, I think there's a lot to that. Yeah. That's a very fair point as well. I think that there is some, like, hey, maybe you don't need to rush this right now, and this is something that we can attack down the road, right?
And I would say, too, there's a hesitation after better than expected start to, you know, take a significant piece out of your room. I think that's part of it as well.
Yep. And he's and
you see that, you guys see that way more than me, but I see that even in conversations over the years with Jason. Like I said, going into the year, right? Like, he's given them a lot of really good minutes, and you know, who knows where this goes ultimately, but I can't remember which general manager liked to use the line, if you have time, use it. And I think the Flames have time, and in using it, not only give their younger guys a chance to keep growing with that safety net that Dan provides and a supportive safety net at that, but maybe even build up a little bit more of a market for his services if indeed you decide to move him before the deadline.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley. He is our goaltending guru in Goal Magazine. NHL.com joins us on Thursdays here on Flames Talk. It's Pat and Wes.
Kevin, it was about the most predictable thing ever that goaltending, and specifically Canada's goaltending, would be a hot topic after the Four Nations rosters were announced. What do you make of the trio that Team Canada ultimately selected?
Well, listen, we talked about this a little bit before. I do think that Binnington and Hill were the guys. I said that, you know, I've said that for a couple weeks. I think that was pretty much set, and I'd heard that was said as much as 3 weeks ago. and I don't have a problem with that. I know that this has not been the start to the season that Jordan Binnington would like. But the reality is, in the previous four seasons combined, when I look up the numbers, he's top 10 in the National Hockey League in adjusted save percentage. So he's got a cup on his resume, but since then, even in a lot of downtimes where the raw numbers didn't look as good and a lot of people were, you know, questioning and criticizing him, especially when he kept putting himself in the headlines for some of the silly stuff, the reality was St. Louis was not a great defensive team, and he was the backbone of it for large portions. And so you trust that the larger sample of the previous 4 years and that cup mean a lot more than a bit of a downtick this season. And since the coaching change, he's trending up. Aiden Hill, same thing, trending up. When he won the cup, his adjusted numbers were the type that if you did that for an entire season, you'd be talking Vezina Trophy slam dunk. And then the start of the next season, he posted the same numbers all the way through December when injury started to affect his game. Again, in the past couple of weeks, he's gotten his feet under him, changed some of his training in the off season after that season of injuries, and looks better in the last couple of weeks. Now, the other thing, that when it comes to Canadian goaltending, and this ties into Montembeau, because I think you could have gone a number of different ways in the three spot. But I find it interesting that we hear a lot about just don't give up the one that, like, don't give up the bad goal, right? Like, Canada right. needs its goaltending not to necessarily win its games, but not to cost it games, because we tend to see our best at the best and best tournaments become intense checkers, right? Like they play the right way, quote unquote, and they grind teams down. Well, guess what? When I look at low danger goals this season, Aiden Hill has only given up one. Jordan Binnington has only given up three. Sam Montembeau has only given up three. And they have some of the better numbers in the league right alongside the Connor Hellebuck's, the Philip Gustafson's, the Anthony Stolars, the UC Soros, a lot of names that are also on the Four Nation Cups list. Those guys are up there in terms of the results they're having on low danger shots. So, including Montembeau, who showed at the beginning of the year what his ceiling is and has struggled with consistency. But even amid the ups and downs of his season, bad goals have not been a problem. So all three of these guys check that box statistically, where two of them have cups, all three of them aren't going to hurt you with bad goals, or at least from a statistical standpoint, haven't all season. And I think that might be, I don't know for sure whether that's part of the reasoning, because like I said, two of them were, I think, decided weeks ago. But I don't think it's a coincidence that these are the guys that Canada ultimately has confidence in, and that happens to be one of the strengths on their statistical resume.
Okay, Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Pat has scribbled down, and I always follow Pat's notes. Pat has scribbled here, you know, we should ask him which country has the best goaltending trio, but full disclaimer, it's not controversial enough for me. So
okay,
I'm going to get you to rank them for me. 1 through 4 best goalie duos in the tournament. Or best goalie trios, I'm sorry, in the Four Nations face-off.
Oh, man. I mean, I could just go to the stats and pick the guys who are the highest right now. It's kind of hard to argue, you know, especially with Russia not involved.
Yeah.
Because that would be a whole nother conversation. But it's kind of hard to argue against the Americans.
Sure.
And it's not just because it's Connor Hellebuck with two Vezina trophies and off to an incredible start again this season. Although, you know, if things go sideways at the Four Nations after the way the last couple playoffs have gone, boy, could there be a lot of questions there. But hard to argue with Connor Hellebuck, and not just Jake Oettinger, who after a down year last year has had a nice bounce back this season, but also Jeremy Swayman, and the fact that, you know, Demko, because of injury, isn't there and might have the highest ceiling of all of them. So the guys that are there, it's hard to argue with America being first. Philip Gustafson is having a remarkable season. Linus Allmark has a Vezina trophy and has had two remarkable seasons prior to a down year this year. And you guys know as well as anyone what Jacob Markstrom is capable of. So Questions there about if they're going to be a real grind it down. You look at some of the forwards and the two-way defensive game and the profile of a lot of guys they pick. Maybe they're going to be a low-event team. You know, we know how good Markstrom is busy. But I'd still pick the Swedes second. I'm going to go with the Finns third in large part because UC Saros is... You know, when they look at who the number one is and rank that pecking order, Saros so far this season is better than anybody on that list except Gustafsson, ironically. That's the thing for the Swedes. The guy with the least name brand value has been the best goalie, one of the best in the league this season. Do they even start Gustafsson? So,
right.
But Saros is up there with him. And so that would be the difference between ranking them ahead of Canada or not. Because Lankinen, like I just said to you guys, he's been exceptional here. And I believe he's a great goalie. He actually was better statistically the previous two seasons than he is right now. But I watch him every night and I see the high danger saves he's making and keeping the Canucks in games. Like, he's been remarkable here. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been really good for 2 years now. I didn't see this coming. Like, that's one I got wrong. The underlying numbers for the previous, they weren't pretty. But he's really taken a step. And UC Saros has been one of the best in the entire NHL this season, 2 seasons ago, a bit of a down year left. So I would put him, I would put the Finns third. And yes, that means I'm putting Canada last. And no, that does not mean they can't win the tournament. Like I said, Binnington has been top 10 in the league for the previous 4 years. The only reason I've got them last now is because of the form of their current guys. And with Aiden Hill picking up the last couple of weeks, I would like nothing more than for them to make me eat these words in February, and they're very capable of doing so.
Kev, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate the insight. We'll do it again next Thursday. For now, have a great rest of your week, hey?
I will. I'm just going to be trying to shake it off when it comes to the local parking prices.
Hey, look, I was there for Grey Cup, and Grey Cup ended right as Canucks started on a Sunday night, and luckily I didn't have to go outside. I was in BC Place for a number of hours afterwards, but apparently it was chaos there as well, as 52,000 people were leaving BC Place and people were coming in to Rogers Arena for a Canucks game. So
add about 15,000 people. I was there too, obviously covering the game, and it was a bit of nightmare fuel getting out. But add 15,000 people and increase the parking prices by four times what we paid that night, and that's the reality of this weekend.
Okay. Good, well, Godspeed, hey. Take the SkyTrain, all right?
We hope you find a blank space.
I'm going to send you guys pictures of what that SkyTrain journey is like. It's going to be fun.
Be well. Godspeed. Good luck. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, guys.
It's Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He's our goaltending expert. He joins us on Thursdays on Flames Talk, and he joins us, as always, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, it's Pat and Wes along with you on this Thursday, and this has become a tradition in the city of Calgary in the last 5-6 years. So the Calgary Flames alumni are hosting their 6th annual Alumni Toy Drive presented by Great Clips. It's in partnership with the Calgary Police Youth Foundation, the Women in Need Society, and Woods Homes. The alumni are able to help families have a Christmas they wouldn't have otherwise. Alumni are putting together 25 families handpicked by the Calgary Police Youth Foundation, hampers for 25 families handpicked by the Calgary Police Youth Foundation, and together with CPS officers are going to be delivering those hampers on Christmas Eve, and a whole lot more on this year's Flames Alumni Toy Drive, the 6th annual. And to talk about it, well, why not some Flames alumni? To my left is 1989 Stanley Cup winner Joel Otto. To his left is Marty Jelena, the Eliminator in 2004, both joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, guys.
Well, thanks for having us.
No problem.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves. That was a fantastic introduction.
So I hit the key points, Joel.
Wonderful. We are presented by Great Clips this year. They've come on board, and we certainly appreciate their support and what they're doing, collecting at all their stores in the city. So and white and
white cap is part of it, and bucks and so on. You got to understand that we're grateful for gifts and so on, and the cash donation goes a long ways. When we talk about helping families and kids in need, sometimes what they ask and what we have for gifts doesn't always match. So the cash donation really help out in that regard. And it's been a lot of fun today. We win that at Willow Park.
Yes, we had. It was kind of a semi-kickoff. Tracy at Stonehouse Decor in Willow Park Villages challenged the rest of the merchants in the community area there. And they had a big haul of toys for us today. So Robin Regeer, Marty, myself, and Chris Kalanis went over there.
Nice.
And saw a bunch of the retail people, and they did a great job, and they're still collecting here till the 17th when we're doing our wrapping.
That's right.
So it's been great.
So Stonehouse Decor in Willow Park Village, yep, is one of the drop-off locations, yep, and 20 of the Great Clips locations around the city as well. You can drop toys off. Collection boxes will be set up there. So, and this is the sixth annual one, yep, and you've been doing this for quite some time, and it's grown and grown and grown. Like, how Joel, from the beginning to where we are now, like, how impressed are you? How proud are you, mm-hmm, as to how this thing has grown?
Well, it's kind of humbling when you're able to distribute them on Christmas Eve. We get a big list of alumni guys that really relish in doing that, and obviously Calgary is so giving, and you know, a wonderful community and what they give for donations and such, and we couldn't be happier. We are growing a bit. We are collecting next Saturday night, the Flames game against Florida, so hoping those that come to that game, if they can remember to bring a unwrapped toy, would be fantastic. And we're going to go to Toys R Us. I'll be in the south here on McLeod Trail on Saturday from 12 to 4, and Marty will be up at Brentwood from 12 to 4, the Brentwood Village Toys R Us. But you're right. It's just, it's fun to be able to get together, know that you're trying to make a difference in the community, and the alumni is just, mm-hmm, a good group of guys to be with. So,
So the first one is Saturday, Marty at Brentwood Village,
yep,
Toys R Us, Joel Otto at the south location of Toys, yep, R Us. That's on Saturday. That's coming Saturday. And then a week from, yep, Saturday, the Panthers game. Y'all are going to be here on the concourse up until the second intermission, collecting toys,
yep,
signing autographs. So that's another one of the big days, right, Marty?
It's a good one, here. And it's a fun one. We got a lot of alumni that want to participate and help out, and so we'll be on the concourse. I believe the big man Lanny is supposed to come and help out. So that'll be
Lanny?
He's always.
Is he? No. I don't know a Lanny.
No, he's always a big draw, and he's always very helpful in this. Colin Patterson will be there. Dana Merzen, and there's a long list of alumni that just want to give back, and Joel touched on it. Like, when you deliver those presents to those families and the joy and the smile that you see, and that's what it's all about. And sometimes we forget that we're pretty lucky where we're at, and we forget that there's a lot of people in need. And this year, we talk about 25 families, but it's now to 29, mm-hmm, families. It's just,
okay,
some add-ons and so on. So there's always more and more of a need, and we'll do our best to facilitate.
And Wes, just before you jump in, just wanted to throw in one other area or one other spot that you can drop off some toys, gift cards, whatever. So there's the 20 Great Clips locations, Stonehouse Decor in Willow Park Village, and right here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome as well, the main reception desk. And all this up until Monday, December 16th, you can drop toys off,
yep,
and the hampers will be put together and then distributed to the 29 families now on Christmas Eve. So that is very cool. Just wanted to make sure that I threw that out there, Wes.
Yeah, those Christmas Eve drop-offs sound pretty special. Is that something all the alumni really get a charge out of?
I personally do. Anyway, it's not only the drop-off. So the wrapping day is pretty special, too. So, it's becoming a tradition for Curtis Lencross to bring his kids. They'll have one or two family that they'll gather toys and put toys in a box, and the kids will be running around, picking up toys, put in the box, we'll wrap them up and so on. So it's alumni, it's family, it's kids and so on, and to deliver them for not only for us, the joy that we give them, but I think we get a lot of joy in return.
We also, the Police Youth Foundation, we've teamed up. They've been with us from the start. So we get a number of officers that come in that morning on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Escorts us to the houses that the guys will be going to. So it's really,
very
really
cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the last year, too, we do that every year. We go to Woods, Woods Home, and Rob Kerr was there last year, and he was Santa. And he was just phenomenal. So how many kids did we have there last year?
Must
have been 10 kids.
Yeah,
maybe.
10 at that
and,
one.
And then they're unfortunate, and some of them are they don't have a place to go and so on. So we went there with Rob, and they couldn't care less about the alumni. But they were so happy to see Rob here.
You mean Santa. You mean Santa Rob.
Yeah. Santa Rob.
Job.
He did
That's
an
awesome.
Amazing mm-hmm. job. Yeah, amazing job.
But we're talking about a talented group, the Flames alumni, who has the softest wrapping hands?
Not those. I didn't have any hockey hands. I don't have any wrapping hands either.
You understand our significant others come and help out, and they are the rocks behind everything that we do. But
yeah, and another thing too with talking about our wives and everybody that helps out. What we did last year too is we delivered toys, and which is really important, and so on. But we went a step above last year where we got baskets. So we want to make sure that when they got up in the morning, they had pancakes or food, and they had food on the table. So our wives put a nice little gesture and basket together, and that goes a long ways.
We're chatting with Marty Jelena, Joel Otto, Flames alumni members. We're talking about the 6th annual Calgary Flames Alumni Toy Drive. By the way, for more information, if you're listening, if you came in halfway through, the website is calgaryflamesalumni.com. All the information on the toy drive is there as well at calgaryflamesalumni.com. So, Joel, what are the types of things that you're looking for? If somebody's listening right now and saying, I really want to help out. We talked about the cash donations, which I know you'll talk about. Gift cards and then also all kinds of toys. Like, what are some of the big things that the group is looking for?
Well, that's a good question. It varies with what we're able to get for the families. The ages can vary dramatically. Most of them are in the 6 to 12, mm-hmm. maybe to the 15-year-old age, and we do struggle to get the older gift for the kids.
Yeah.
We've been pretty good. The cash helps out. Whatever we can't seem to find or what we have, we are able to use those funds to facilitate what we need. And also with the grocery cards or what other superstore, Walmart, whatever other
right.
cards we'll use.
So. That's where if you do make a cash donation,
absolutely.
That's where that goes to is grocery cards,
absolutely.
Gift cards, stuff like that, right?
Absolutely.
So. And a gift that we couldn't get from a donation, we'll go get it to make a special Christmas for that special kid.
Yeah. That's awesome, by the way. And it's so cool. Always the visuals of when you guys go out there and deliver on Christmas Eve. And gift cards, if somebody's like, geez, I don't know what to buy, but like a gift card to Toys R Us or Sport Check or whatever like that, those are also very much encouraged.
Very, very, very helpful. And I bet you when we do the game against Florida, there'll be a lot of people that walk in and they'll say, I forgot. But we'll take cash donation and we'll make sure it goes to a good place.
Okay. All right. So here is the here's the lowdown on the alumni toy drive one more time. It is on now. It goes up until December 16th, December 17th, right around that range. There are collection boxes set up at the 20 Great Clips locations across Calgary, Stonehouse Decor in Willow Park Village, and right here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Those are kind of your always drop-off locations. Marty is going to be at Toys R Us. at Brentwood on Saturday. Joel is going to be at Toys R Us in the South on Saturday. And then a week from Saturday, December 14th, when the Flames host the Florida Panthers, everybody's going to be on the concourse. Lanny, Joel, Marty, and more going to be on the concourse collecting toys, gift cards, and cash as well. And one more time, the website, CalgaryFlamesAlumni.com, if you want to go and check out more information there. That is awesome, guys. Joel, I see you've got the sheet of paper. Did you hit all the thank yous?
We do have a number of people that have been very good to us so far. Darren and Laura Exner at Extreme Packaging, they've supplied us with a number of boxes the last 6 years. David at Factory Outlet Trailers helped us out for storing all our gifts. And, you know, Lindsey Carson's Buck Hockey Team has been... You wouldn't believe, they're all very familiar businessmen in the community. They play together up at the one up on the west.
West Side. Yep.
And they donate tons of gift cards and cash. It's the Buck Hockey Team, so we want a quick little shout-out to those guys.
Yeah, really good. White Cap, really good. Yep. And then obviously great clips. So we're pretty lucky. Yeah. Really lucky.
Thank you. You know, this is not about the two of you. It's about, you know, the families and the kids being helped. But I'm wondering, like, are you able to sum up what it means to the alumni that after your careers you're in a position to kind of continue to make the impact that you are in this community?
Absolutely. Great leadership from Lanny, Pep, Colin, Perry, these guys that started this alumni in the mid-90s. And we've got... obviously more than just Flames that are here, part of our alumni team that help out tremendously. And we think it's a great place to live, to raise their family. And it's another branch of the Flames, the alumni ourselves that hang together. We skate, do these odd things. We do a hockey school. We do the golf tournament. We're doing the toy drive. So number of things that gets us together and it's been good.
And for a good cause. Always for a good cause. Robin Regier does a good job. Took over Dino Merzen for the golf tournament. And there's always a need in the community. And you know what? It's amazing. It seems like everybody in the alumni wants to help out. And this is a big one. The toy drive is a big one.
Yep.
So we're grateful. We got a lot of good response from everybody.
Wrapping day is a blast, to Marty's point. Yeah,
Where do you do that?
We try to do it here.
The
building's a little busy right now, so it's kind of tough to get us in and out. But I want to thank the Flames, too, and the building staff is
really
fantastic
good.
To us as well to help us out.
And
with everything.
We're lucky, too. We got Tanya and Jennifer. It really helps out to kind of organize everything and so on and making sure that we're – the right place at the right
Marty's
time.
Just the pretty face. We're and the girls are doing all the work.
That's
What's your travel schedule like?
You know, it was busy. You know, it's funny. It was really busy. And then December now, I try to kind of do a little because it's so busy with the toy drive.
Yeah.
And usually the weekends we're busy collecting and so on. So I try to, for the next 2-3 weeks, kind of focus on this. I'm going to go see Andrew Bascha on Tuesday. He might be playing Saturday. I'm not sure yet. And then we'll see him in Lethbridge on the 15th.
Okay.
So, but it's amazing. They're wrapping up to the junior team.
That's right.
Some of our prospect university and college are they'll be done shortly, and they got a long break too. So
I think last time you and I chatted, you just arrived in Prince George.
That's right. Beautiful.
To see Hunter Lang. Yeah.
That's right. Beautiful. It was my first time in Prince George. I enjoyed
that. I think that was October. You squeezed that one in early. You know what?
I'm learning over the years that you got to go to the small towns early.
See, that's good. Thank you, gentlemen. That is that's awesome. Continued good luck, and let's knock it out of the park in year 6.
Thank you.
Great stuff, as always. Thanks for doing this, hey?
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
That's Joel Otto. That is Marty Jelena joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Head over to CalgaryFlamesAlumni.com for more on the 6th annual Alumni Toy Drive. 20 drop-off locations at every Great Clips location in Calgary. So you got 20 Great Clips locations. You've got Stonehouse Decor. You've got the Scotiabank Saddledome. Go see the guys at Toys R Us this Saturday. Saturday and come see everybody here at the Dome on December 14th when the Flames take on the Florida Panthers. Great stuff, as always, by the alumni. It's they're still in here, but we would say this even if
they
weren't.
We'd say nice things about
them. We would say
nice
stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, there really isn't a better alumni group. I would say this if they weren't in here.
Yeah.
It's the best alumni group in professional sports in North America. It really is. It starts at the top and the standards set by Lanny and Pep and Perry. By the way, yep. Happy 60th birthday. And Cooner, and it's yep. right, and Jamie McCown, the president,
yeah.
That's right. I could never forget Jamie McCown.
Yeah.
The standard set, and also, it's Perry Barrison's 60th birthday today.
Yeah.
So happy 60th to Perry Barrison as well.
Let's hope December 14th, collecting toys against the Florida Panthers. Let's hope the 15th, they're grumbling about sore backs and knees because of all the toys that they've needed to carry out of the Saddle Dome.
Yep. We got about 2 or 3 minutes before we have to wrap, but don't go anywhere because somebody texted in and has a potential offer for you as well for the 29 families. So just want to, just before, I'll tell it to you off the air, but when we hit the break, I'll pass that on because I want to see if that could work. It could be really cool for you. Okay, that'll wrap us up on this hour of Flames Talk. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We had Cam and Shan producing this hour of the program, and this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.